Okay, I want to go ahead and just pray over the sermon before we actually read our passage of Scripture. And so I would like for you, if you would, to turn to John 16, verse 13, John 16, 13. And let's just pray that God will move in our hearts and help us to understand. This is we started this last week, and we're not able to complete it, and so I'm asking you to be praying that God will help us to get it completed today, and if we don't, we'll do a part three. But this is a vital message, one that we really need to plug into, and we just want to open our hearts to this. This is something that's a little bit different for us. You may not have been exposed to this concept. There's a lot of things that we, various types of walks of life that we come from, and the Bible's clear. It's not like we're going to be introducing something brand new. It's been in there all along. It's just that our society forms in a certain way with our churches and denominations. We start to head in directions that God has not really directed us to go into. And so let's just pray with that God will reveal His truths to us this morning and help us to embrace His plan for our lives. Heavenly Father, we just come before You and we ask that You would help us to understand that You are trying to establish a relationship with us. That it's Your desire for us to not just study Your Word and make it something of information, but You're looking for transformation. You're wanting to bring our hearts and our lives into something that isn't just trying to train us, it's trying to change us. We just pray that You would help us to understand that You're not trying to cause us to work and labor on our own human effort, but that You're empowering us. Amen. We just ask, Heavenly Father, that You would speak to us this morning and help us to understand that it's Your purpose for us to grow in You and to have an intimate relationship with You and to enjoy Your company, to see You as our Heavenly Father and to be Your children, and to crawl up into Your lap and let You just wrap Your arms around us and hug us and train us and teach us in the ways that we should go. We just pray that You would help us to see this as a real truth and that that truth would set us free. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Turn your Bibles to John 16, 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives, is to guide us into all truth. Now, that's not how a lot of us try to arrive at truth. There are a lot of different methods that we each use trying to arrive at truth. One of those things that predominantly work in our hearts as we start to try to head into Christianity and we start to try to find a church that best fits our needs, we frequently want to try to establish doctrines. What are those churches' doctrines? And if you get on a website of any particular church, you can typically go to what do we believe? And you can log on to those beliefs and you can read those beliefs. And those would typically establish a person's belief system. Unfortunately, that's not exactly what happens. However, as we read down through those beliefs, we come to those points and say, well, yeah, that's what I believe, and yeah, that's what I believe, and yes, that's what I expect a church to believe. I think I'll join that church because they believe what I believe. But the problem is that those beliefs and that belief system doesn't necessarily transform the life of that person. And the reason why is because even though we want a church to teach certain things, we often do not understand why they're teaching those things. That God's not trying to hit our head. God is trying to address our heart. God is trying to bring us into a place to where that He can change us, to where that we know the truth, and the truth sets us free. And if that truth that we're embracing is not setting us free, there could be contaminants in it. And the reason why that happens is because a person is not opening up their heart to the Holy Spirit. They're opening up their head to church doctrine. Now, we have a group of people that we want to take another look at that we looked at last week, Matthew 22, 23 through 28. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection. Now, this is the main point. They say there is no resurrection, and now they're about to prove to Jesus that there is no resurrection. They're trying to talk to the resurrection and life, trying to talk to him and say, here's our proof that there is no resurrection. Came to him with a question. Now, this is not a question if you just really get right down to it. They came with a question, but it wasn't a question. Their minds were made up. I just want to ask you this question. And the person is not asking you this question. They're saying, how are you going to explain this? How are you going to justify the way you live and the way you believe based on this question? And this is what they're doing. They're not teachable. They're not coming saying, here, help me with my doctrines. Help me with my belief. Help me with my life. Help me with my transformations. Help me to see miracles worked in my heart. They're not saying that. They're saying, we want to confuse you. We want to establish with you. We want to prove to you that the resurrection doesn't exist. And here's their lame excuse for it. Moses said to us that if a man dies without having children, his brother must marry the widow and have children for him. Okay, that's right out of the Bible. See, they know scripture. Now they give their story. Now there were seven brothers among us. Now they're saying this really actually happened. There were seven brothers among us. The first one married and died, and since he had no children, he left his wife to his brother. The same thing happened to the second and the third brother, right down to the seventh. Finally, the woman died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will she be of the seven, since all of them were married to her? This is their proof that there's no resurrection from the dead. That this would confuse and stress God out to the point where that he just wouldn't let us raise from the dead if some woman didn't end up with a child by one of these people so they could establish whose wife she belonged to. Isn't that sad? But that's what we do. We reason out in our hearts. We reason out in our minds and say, well, that's not going to work because there can't be any resurrection from the dead. What about all those dead people? They get into that grave and they rot. God's going to have a tough time finding out what particular molecules belong to that person. It's not possible for a man to be swallowed by a whale. That's not going to work. There's no way that God split the Red Sea and they walked over on dry land. One guy said to this minister, he said, well, during that particular time, the Red Sea was really only about 3 inches to 3 feet deep. And he said, praise God, what a miracle. And the guy said, what are you talking about, a miracle? That's not a miracle. And he said, the entire Egyptian army drowned in 3 feet of water. Jesus said to these Sadducees, you are in error because. This is how we get into error. This is what happens to us and causes us to get into error. We do not know the scriptures. Now, like we said last week, these people probably knew about 90 to 95% more scripture than anybody on the planet. It's possible they knew 99% more, because these guys really knew scripture, and yet Jesus was saying to them, you're doing this and you're saying these things and feeling these things and living this life based on the fact that you don't know scripture. Now, it's obvious they didn't know the power of God because they couldn't see resurrection. These were Sadducees. They didn't believe there were angels. They didn't believe there was such a thing as a spirit. They didn't believe that there was such a thing as a resurrection. They didn't believe any of those things. If they couldn't see them, they couldn't touch them, they didn't believe in them. They didn't believe in miracles. They didn't believe in any of these things. And Jesus was saying that they were in error because of the fact that they didn't know the scriptures. And yet, they knew lots of scriptures. What's he talking about? Here's the problem. We know what the Bible says. But what we struggle with is we do not know what the Bible means. And because of that interpretation, because of that lack of meaning of the scriptures, of knowing, okay, here's what the Bible says. And they read Moses, but they were struggling with what the Bible meant. And I mean, all of those things. Is this proof of this or proof of that, because I am looking at this passage of Scripture and here's what I think it means. And when we do that, very often we come up with something that won't work in our lives. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If what you believe isn't setting you free, then you haven't come down to the truth. Amen? It isn't because the Bible won't work. It's because our interpretation won't work. What we believe won't work. There are a lot of things that you and I believe that God doesn't agree with. Is that important? Is that important? Wouldn't you want to shell out of your life to remove from your heart anything that God doesn't agree with? That's important. It's important for us to realize that we come to certain conclusions that God did not intend when He wrote those passages. It becomes important for us to understand what God wants us to have happen to us when we read a passage of Scripture. And the Bible says in 1 John 2:27, "As for you, the anointing you received from Him remains in you." Now, that may not mean much to you. You may look at that and say, "Well, I don't know what that's talking about." That's talking about an anointing that's in your heart. There's an anointing of the Holy Spirit in you right here, right now. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Holy Spirit started anointing you. And what that anointing does is you do not need anyone to teach you. Whoa. Now, I've run into people who read this passage of Scripture and they decided that since no one was going to teach them, that they were going to establish their own doctrines. And so they said, "I'm not letting any man teach me. I'm not going to let any man teach me." And when in fact they were letting a man teach them, they were teaching themselves. They didn't realize that they were part of anyone. That God is not wanting any human to teach us. And yet, we look at and we read and we develop doctrinal systems based on human reasoning. It isn't saying to us that we can decide what we believe. It isn't saying to us that we can develop our own belief system. It is telling us instead, as it goes on, it says, "But as His anointing teaches you." What's He saying? Don't let other humans teach you, and don't teach yourself. Don't let any human, including you, teach you. Let My Holy Spirit tell you what to believe. Why? Because you are going to stand on the judgment day by yourself, answering for your life, and no one else will. We have to answer to God personally. And you can't say, "Well, my pastor, oh, Mel Westbrook, it's his fault because he taught me to believe that." And that's what I used to spend my time. I spent a large quantity of 20 years pastoring a church, telling people what to believe. And I kept telling them, "Believe this, believe this, believe this. Well, this is what I believe. Well, what do you think about this?" And when they say, "What do you think about that?" I was glad they asked, because I was dying to tell someone what I thought. And so I'd tell them what I thought. And when my entire ministry was going in the direction of just telling people what the Bible said and what the Bible meant and teaching and training them on those things that what the Bible wanted them to believe. And I formed this whole denominational framework trying to help everyone to line up with Mel's doctrines. And God began to deal with my heart, and He began to sift my life, and He began to challenge my approach to the ministry. And finally He said, "This is not what I want you doing." And when He said, "This is not what I want you to do," that stripped me of everything. Because that's what I did. That was all that I did. I went around telling people what to think, what the Bible meant, and interpreting it for them, telling them what doctrines they ought to have and how they ought to have them. And so I went to God and I said, "Well, God, that pretty well wipes out my ministry. I might as well go home." And I think he seriously considered sending me home. I said, what's my job? And he began to build for me a whole new concept of what a pastor's job is. He began to explain to me that I was standing in between him and his people. That they would come to me asking me what the Bible said. They were coming to me and establishing a relationship with me about the things of God's word and the interpretation and the relationships with God. That he wanted a relationship with them directly. That there's only one man between us and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. There is no pastor, there is no preacher, there is no teacher, there is no priest, there is no rabbi that can stand between God and his people. And he began to explain to me that what my purpose was is to show people how to get to him. How to get their doctrines. How to study the Word of God. How to listen to the Holy Spirit. And how to allow the Holy Spirit to teach them. You do not need anyone, including yourself, to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. Isn't that better? Now, how many of you have heard the little cliche, give a man a fish and you fed him for a day? Teach him how to fish and you've fed him for life. How many of you have heard that? Where's that found? Hezekiah somewhere? Well, I understand the principle. But we don't understand it as it relates to what God's teaching us, that if you teach a person how to have a relationship with God, you have fed them for life. But you can understand that we're going to have to meet and meet and meet and meet, and we're going to have all kinds of seminars and training sessions and classes where that we take you through step by step what everything that God said and what it means and how you are to apply it to your life. And it's going to be a lifetime of you learning what I know and teaching you what I believe the Word of God says. Or we're going to come in here and we're going to build an intimate relationship with God. Now, it doesn't mean that you come in and just learn the Christian songs and say, okay, I've learned that. Now I can graduate on to the next class. It's worship. As we sing those songs, as we go over these sermons, as we come forward and are prayed for, there's this development of our relationship with God. I'd like to ask Lon if he would to come. First, I want to look at the issue of the human reasoning. Now, there's these people that we just got through looking at and talking about the Sadducees. Those people were people who didn't want the truth. And so you can see there in your choices, the human reasoning is a person who has decided what it is they want to believe. They have decided that they want to believe a certain thing, that their belief system is going to embrace that particular thing. And those people are going to use human reasoning. But there's another group of people who really do love God. They're not trying to skid around the things of God. They join denominations because they sincerely don't trust themselves, and that's a good thing. They're afraid that they're going to go into erroneous doctrine. And so they'll join a denomination, and Lon and Gloria joined one of those denominations, and they put their heart and their life and their trust in that particular church and that denomination, and they were being taught in that denomination by those ministers exactly what the Bible says and exactly what the Bible means. And they sat there year in and year out because they didn't want to teach themselves. They didn't want to learn on their own. They wanted to submit to some people that they felt they could trust. And they trusted those people, and those people trained them in on those basic things that they believed in that particular denomination. And Lon and Gloria sat there and listened to them, and they devoted their lives to them, and they felt safe there because it wasn't something that they were inventing on their own. They weren't out trying to establish something as novices on the Word of God. They were there to learn and to be safe and to follow those doctrines. And that's what a lot of us do. We want to just come into our particular denomination. We want to enter into that one and say, okay, well, all of us here, we believe this particular set of doctrines, and they must be right because we've got thousands of people who believe them. You understand what I'm saying? And so Lon gave his testimony the other night in our Wednesday night study, and it falls right into this exact concept where that you went in there and you were sitting and you were listening to all of those things that these people were saying, and then in there, and you trusted them, didn't you?
I did.
And your life was going pretty good, wasn't it?
It was.
So what happened as you sat there in that particular denomination? What happened that God did to you that helped you to realize that there was something more that you weren't getting?
Well, I felt like that I was ringing all the right bells and pushing all the right buttons. I was an elder in the church. I was on the district mission board. But I came to realize that there was something missing in my life, that I was a good church member, and I had a lot of good church friends there who were also good people. But there was something missing in me, and I began to question, you know, why am I not moving on with the Lord? I don't feel like that in the last 20 years that I have learned much of anything. And is that all my fault, or is it the fault of maybe the denomination? So the Lord just put it in me that you've got to do something, because I am dying inside.
Now, was that a scary moment in your life when you started thinking about you're going to have to reach out somewhere else for information?
Yeah, it was. It concerned me a bit because, you know, where am I going to look?
Yeah.
Am I going to look to more of the same, or am I going to look to something different? Yeah. I want to make sure that I don't get off into error.
Yeah. What if you got jumped out of that church, which was at least, relatively trustworthy in the way they believed, yeah, and jumped into some strange group of people who believed weird doctrines?
Amen.
Out of the frying pan into the fire. I mean, that's not what you wanted, was it?
No, it wasn't.
But you ended up with the Holy Spirit in your life.
Yes.
Okay, tell us a little bit about what happened.
Okay, to make a long story short, we had a drugstore in Herron at that time, and I was going to the store in Herron, and several times, I would go over on Monday, several times I would go through Mulkey Town, and the pastor of the Christian Fellowship was the postmaster there, and I'd want to stop there, but I couldn't do it. I just kept on going by, and finally I got to what was a desperate situation for myself inside.
How'd you feel that when you say a desperate situation? What was going on inside of your heart?
Well, I was everything was good. We had a good life, and but it was just, I had a void inside of me. I was born again. I knew I was born again. I knew if I would die, I would go to heaven. But I was just missing something, and I didn't know what it was exactly. So finally, one time I stopped there, and as I said the other night, I learned probably more in a half an hour than I had learned in the last 20 years.
From that minister?
Mm-hmm. And I say that honestly. I'm not saying that to be a smart aleck. I couldn't hardly leave there. I stayed and stayed and stayed, and then it got to be that every Monday I stopped. Because wow. I was learning more about the Spirit-led life, and it didn't take us long that I felt like, boy, though, this is what I've got to have.
Amen.
And so it wasn't shortly after that I was filled with the Holy Ghost, and changed our life, changed
Amen.
The life of Gloria and me, and changed our family.
Praise God.
As young kids, they got to where they wanted to go to church.
So was your life better?
Yeah, it was. Physically, everything was still the same,
right.
But my in my spirit, inside me, it was much, much better.
You saw some real
dramatic change. Dramatic change.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah. Let's give Lon a hand there for sharing his story with us. Thank you very much. When we're suffering, no matter where it is in your life, when you're suffering, if there's something in your life where you're suffering, There's a truth missing that isn't setting you free. Now, will God let you embrace weird doctrines? Yes. No. The answer is yes, and the answer is no. Do you want weird doctrines? If you do, then yes, he will. Do you want weird doctrines? If the answer is no, no, he won't. Why? Because this is a permission-based relationship. God will let you do what you want. You're in charge of your life. And if you're trying to find a loophole in the Word of God, then you're going to fall into the category with those who say, well, you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. That's true, you can. You'll spend an eternity without God, but you can make the Bible say anything you want it to say. Why? Because if we want to manipulate our belief system, we can. God will allow that. But you have to understand, it is not God's will that any perish, but that all come to repentance. Does that mean that everybody comes to repentance? No, that doesn't mean that. You mean God doesn't get his way in every person's life? No, he doesn't. But those of you who are worried about, those of you who are concerned that you might head into weird doctrine and you won't venture out and let the Holy Spirit lead you into all truths, those of you who are concerned that maybe if you stepped out of mainline denominational concepts that you would end up in weird doctrine, you're going to have to read Matthew 7, 9 through 11. Those of you who are concerned with it, it holds you back because of your concern. It's a good thing that you're concerned because you don't want to go into weird doctrine, and God doesn't want you going into weird doctrine, and he is glad that you don't want to go. But you cannot move into truth even though you're embracing some things that he doesn't agree with. He cannot lead you into those truths, and those truths set you free if you don't trust him. Your relationship is not with your denomination. Your relationship is not with your church. Your relationship was not with your mentors. Your relationship is with God. God wants to have an intimate relationship with you, and he wants you to believe in him. He wants you to trust him. Matthew 7, 9 through 11 says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? How many of you, if your child asked you, pass the bread, you would hand them a stone? How many of you would do that? Raise your hand. Almost got a hand there. Or if he asked for a fish, will he give him a snake? How many of you would do that? Oh, dear. If you then, though you are evil, we have some real problems, don't we? We're likely to do something that would be pretty nasty. But what he's saying is, if you then, even though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How many of you know how to give good gifts to your children? Whether you have children or not, when you have them, how many of you know how to give good gifts to them? And how many of you realize that we're not nearly as good as God? How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Praise God. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome, isn't it? We can trust him with our doctrines. I have had people to take their Bible and read a verse of Scripture and then write down what they thought that particular verse of Scripture meant. And some of them didn't want to do it. Said, well, that's not Scripture. That's not Bible. I'm not good at translating. And so they wouldn't want to write that out as if they would translate a verse of Scripture and say, just okay, now go down to the next one and translate that one. And let's just make up your Bible. And they didn't like that. They just felt insecure in that because, no, it might not be right. But you realize that that is your Bible? That's your perception of God's Word. It's whatever it is you read it to mean. Whatever it is saying to you is your Word. Do you trust you or do you trust your Heavenly Father? Even if someone sits you down in a class and tells you what to believe, do you realize that you forget about 95% of what you hear in that class? That you still walk out of there pretty empty? If you don't have a daily relationship with the Holy Spirit, if you're not in constant contact with Him where He's leading you into all truths, do you understand that it is going to be one of those things where that you are not getting the Word of God, that when you sit down to read your Bible, that you are obligated to sit there with some sort of a commentary explaining to you what the Word of God means and whether or not that's true? Who knows? Depends on what commentary. I know for sure that sooner or later you're going to run into something that God doesn't agree with in that commentary. I know this is a little bit of a challenge to you, but you have to understand some basic principles. There was a time in your life in 1 Corinthians 2:14 when you didn't understand the things of God. They were spiritually discerned. They were foolishness to you. There was a time in 1 Corinthians 2:14 that you were living that particular life where you couldn't comprehend the things of God. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, "For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Now that doesn't mean that you're going to think everything that Jesus thinks. This just means that you have a mind that is capable of comprehending the things of God. How many of you realize that your elbow doesn't see color? But your eyeballs do. Because they are able to receive color. And all of a sudden, when you get the mind of Christ, you are able to spiritually discern. You are able to have spiritual comprehension. You can trust the gift that God has given you. He has given you the mind of Christ. He has given you the ability to understand spiritual things. He has given you the ability so that when the Spirit talks to you, you will know it's Him and you will listen to Him. He has given you the ability to know His voice. My sheep know my voice. The first thing you have to realize is in your relationship with the Holy Spirit is described in Isaiah 55:11. "So is my word that goes out of my mouth, it will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The first thing you have to understand is when you're reading your Bible that God had that particular passage of Scripture written for a purpose, that He had a desire when He had that Scripture written. And what you have to do is you have to read that verse and say, "What did you mean here?" Rather than doing like the Sadducees who had their minds made up, they already knew what He meant. Come to Him and say, "God, You had a desire. What was that desire when You had this written? You have a purpose for why You sent it." And you know what happens to your life when you find out what that desire is and when you fall into that purpose? You know a truth and that truth sets you free. All of a sudden, that Scripture comes alive in your life and you can feel it. As Lon and Gloria discovered these truths, as these truths began to be expressed to them, inside their lives, truths exploded in their hearts and God began to feed their spirit person on the inside. And their lives were changed, drastically changed for the power and presence of God. Okay, Matthew 5:3. This is Jesus starting to lay out the basis for His ministry. He's going to sit down and He's teaching the disciples and He's saying, "Okay, I'm going to spend about three and a half years with you. And this is the foundational issues that you're going to have in your heart in order for you to begin to learn from Me and be My disciples." And He starts off with this one: "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And the first thing the disciples were learning here is that you're going to have to humble yourself to the Word of God. You're going to have to allow the Word of God to be in charge of your life. You have to say, "Now, I want to live my life according to Your Word. I want to be a Word person." And so you come to the Word of God and your heart has to be open. You have to do Matthew 5:3. You have to be a poor in spirit person that allows God to tell you. Now, the Word of God's not always going to tell you what you want to hear. Sometimes you'll read a certain passage and you say, no, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. And you can walk away sorrowful like the rich young ruler. But the issue of really bringing yourself under the control of the Holy Spirit and getting truths that set you free is to humble yourself before God and allow Him to do what He wants to do in your life. The second thing that you have to do is you have to have an intense desire to know truth. And the way to do that is to say this thing to yourself. Go into the mirror and stand in front of the mirror and say, listen, you, the reason why you're suffering in these various areas of your life is because there's a missing truth. Say it to yourself. Do you realize why you're suffering? Answer me. Do you realize what? They'll get you in paddy wagon, take care of you up. But stand in front of the mirror. Close the door. Don't let anyone see you do this. But stand in front of the mirror and say, you're suffering because of a missing truth of God's Word. Just talk to yourself. Have a talk with yourself. And say, you need to understand that this truth sets you free. You need to understand that if you don't read your Bible, if you don't expose yourself to God's truth, you're going to suffer. Just have this personal talk with yourself and say, look, you're going to have this intense hunger for truth because it's killing you. Do you understand that? Yes, sir. Matthew 5:6. This is another portion of this message that Jesus had on the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Now, there are three things that you have to know. You have to know what the Bible says, you have to know what the Bible means, and you have to know that that particular meaning of that particular scripture is true. You have to mix faith with it. Now, some of you have not read through your Bible cover to cover yet. And that's okay. So here's what I'm recommending to you. For those of you who have not read your Bible completely through yet, I want you to at least take these five books and give them priority, okay? Read Genesis as number one. Read John, number two. 1 John as your third book. James as your fourth book. And then finally, Romans. Those five books, Genesis, John, 1 John, James, and Romans, will give you the major concepts of the Word of God, to where that you're at least exposed to what the Bible is going to be saying to you as you read the rest of it. And let's get those under our belt first so that you can know what the Bible is saying. Three things. You have to know what the Bible says. And those five books will give you what the Bible says on the basics. Two, you and the Holy Spirit have to work together. You have to listen to your Heavenly Father. You have to build an intimate relationship with Him. It doesn't make any difference what you've been taught all your life. It just matters what you're going to be judged for when you stand before God. When you stand there alone, all by yourself, and say, here's my life. You don't want somebody else deciding what you believe. You want the Holy Spirit leading you into all truths.